doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. You know what happens when I read my Bible? It instructs me. Instead of going this way, it helps me go this way. Instead of making this choice, it helps me make the right choice. It works, brother. This thing teaches and corrects me. It's like a mirror. You know, you look and you see a mirror, you see yourself. How many of you ever just opened your Bible and you see yourself? Sometimes it ain't a pretty picture. Like they say, the mirror don't lie, buddy. Everybody at work can tell you how pretty and young you look, but when you look in that mirror, it'll tell you the truth. That's your friend right there. It'll tell you the truth. You look worse than ever, bud. That's right. I mean, you're getting worse every day. That's where the Bible is. It don't cut you no slack. It don't cut you no corners. It'll tell you exactly how you are. It'll tip you and keep you out of trouble. I knew a man personally. This man was a big old strong truck driver, and he mean before he got saved. And he got saved and went to church with him for a while. And he said, Danny, he said, I come home from one of my truck, and he said, I found out that my neighbor down the street, he said, had been coming around and messing around with my wife. He said he'd been talking to her and trying to take her out and stuff like that. He said, when I heard that, he said, the blood come up in my neck. He said, I had murder. He said, I was going to kill him. He said, I done made up my mind. I was going to his house, and I was going to take my hands and strangle him, kill him. And he said, I started over there to his house like that, and he said, the scripture come in my mind. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And that scripture came back. He said, that scripture corrected me. He said, I would be in prison right now had not the scripture, the word of God. Listen, ain't no other book can do that. The Bible, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. That's why you ought to read your Bible. Because when it's rough time, the Spirit of God will bring that scripture back to your mind as pertaining to the situation that you are facing. It's not, that Bible's got a lot in it. That Bible will reprove you. I mean, you know what a lot of people don't like about the Bible? It knows all about you and tells it. I'm telling you, it don't cut a corner for me. If you're wrong, it'll tell you you're wrong. If you're an adulterer, it'll say you're an adulterer. If you're a liar, it'll say you're a liar. If you're a thief, it'll say you're a thief. I mean, brother, it don't sugarcoat it. It'll tell you exactly what you are. Like old Mark Twain said one time, people's always saying, I don't understand this and I don't understand that. He said, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. He said, that part I do understand is what gets me. And the truth is, this morning, every one of y'all, you understand enough to keep you busy, don't you? You sure do. And people say, well, I just don't understand the Bible. You understand thou shalt not kill, don't you? That's right, you sure do. You understand not to bear false witness, don't you? It teaches, it reproves, it corrects you. Amen. He said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Did you know you can read the whole Bible in 71 hours? Did you know you can read the New Testament in 18 hours? Just 45 minutes a month, you can read the entire New Testament. Now, what's wrong with you people? All of us is TV, internet, cell phones. We got so much stuff to keep that it crowds out our time to get in the greatest book that's ever been written. I mean, tell you this morning, I want our church to be Bible readers. I want to, listen, if there's one thing I want shining light to be, it's a church where people read the Bible and they know what's in the Bible. And when something comes up at work, you don't have to call Brother Danny and ask, where is that? You'll know what it is. You'll know the Word of God. It'll teach you. It'll reprove you. It'll correct you. It'll straighten you out when you're wrong. It's the Word of God. Number three, not only that, this morning, it cleanses me. It's like taking a bath. In Ephesians 5 and verse 26, that he said he might wash it with water, by the renewing of the Word of God. Oh, Billy Graham told many, many years ago of this missionary who was imprisoned in China. And this missionary in China, a lady missionary, and they put her in there, and there was a penalty of death for having the scripture. When they put you in the concentration camp and in prison, they'd kill you if you had any part of the scripture. And somebody smuggled her a little tiny, one of them little Gospel of John. And she took that little Gospel of John, and she knew that if she got caught with it, they'd kill her. So she knew her time was only limited. So she took that and wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Start out the Gospel of John. She memorized it. She read it every day, every night, cover up her head and look a little light and read that scripture. And she began to memorize it. She memorized the first chapter. She memorized the second chapter. She took the Gospel of John. Are you listening, y'all? Right, some of y'all got 18 Gospel of Johns in your house and don't know what the second chapter talks about. This lady, she read the Gospel of John and read it. She started memorizing verses. You say, "I just can't memorize scripture." You memorize everything else. You know movie stars, how much ball players make, who signed a contract, who won the World Series, who's in the NBA playoff. Listen, you can learn that, but if you get a hunger for it and study and read that thing. She'd take one verse of scripture and she'd go to sleep saying, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God." That's all she had. And buddy, when it's all you've got, you realize that it's all that you need to make it through in this world. And she memorized the Gospel of John. And little by little, she'd take one page of it and get it wet and let it flush it down the sink so she could live. And she memorized the entire Gospel of John and committed it up. You know what it did? It kept her clean. It kept her clean. One man memorized over 20,000 verses of Scripture. You say, "I can't do that." David said he did. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." You know, that Bible in your heart will keep you from making a lot of stupid mistakes. The Spirit will bring it to remembrance. I read about a man and his wife. They went to the preacher. And they said, "Our Bible." He said, "I just don't know what's wrong with me." He said, "I just don't get nothing out of the Bible no more. I don't." And the man said, "Are you reading it?" He said, "Well, I read a little bit here and there and everything." He said, "Read one book of it several times a day and for a month and then tell me what happened." He said, "Well, what book? You tell me." He said, "Second Peter." Second Peter's a little book. It's only, I think, three chapters. He said, "Read Second Peter 12 times a day and for a month and then come back and see me." So him and his wife went home. They read 2 Peter, 1, 2, 3. Read again at lunch, 1, 2, 3. Read again after lunch, 1, 2, 3. Read again in the afternoon, 1, 2, 3. Read again in the evening. Read it about 10, 12 times every day. And he said he got into 2 Peter. He said he began to take his crayon and mark verses in 2 Peter. He said his tears hit the pages of 2 Peter. He said his hands wore the pages thin of 2 Peter. He said next thing you know, he was talking 2 Peter. He was speaking 2 Peter. He said every time somebody said something, he had a verse out of 2 Peter. He could quote, that word got in him. It got in him. And brother, that thing got in him, began to work. And you know what? He met his pastor back. He said, "Well, how's it going?" He said, "I love it. I love 2 Peter. The Word of God's real to me." People, it ain't going to be real to you if you don't read it. It ain't going to work in you if you leave it laying up on the shelf. It's not going to work if you leave it laying in your car. Get that thing down. It's the most precious thing we've got on this earth. Let's read the Bible. Are you think your church is dead? I know what's wrong with you. You ain't spending time in the Word of God. That's right, brother. This church ain't dead. You're dead. Don't blame it on me. Don't blame it on God. Don't blame it on the Bible. It's nobody's fault but yours. You get in that Word. I challenge you. You read 30 chapters a day. Come back next Sunday. You'll have a spring in your step and say, "Glory to God. It feels different in here." That's right. Hallelujah. You know what his wife told him? He said, "Honey, I'm ruining 2 Peter." He said, "My pages are dirty." She said, "I'll tell you one thing I've noticed." She said, "Your Bible's getting dirty, but your life's getting cleaner." Amen. Did everybody hear me? Amen. Said, "Your Bible's getting dirty, but your life's getting clean." You know how come some of y'all watch dirty stuff on TV? You know why? Because your heart's dirty. And you ain't going to get it clean except through that book right there. And I'm your friend this morning for pointing it out. I was up till late last night. I was up at 5:45 this morning, and I was praying for you. I got your name. I got it in my other notebook. I got everybody in here just about named down, and I prayed for every one of you and your family. Last night, I said, "Dear God, put the Word of God in our hearts like never before." Number four, When I read my Bible, it strengthens me. 1 John 2:14. He said, I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong. And the Word of God abideth in you. The Word of God's what will make you strong. The Word of God will make you strong. Thank God for good singing. I love it. I love gospel. Yeah, I listen to it every day of my life. Every day. But I tell you, there ain't nothing that'll make you strong like that Word right there. Like that book right there. You read that book, brother, and put it in your heart. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it will strengthen you. It'll help you resist temptation. Our example, the Lord Jesus Christ. When He was here and the devil came to Him, Jesus didn't sing. Jesus didn't say, well, you need to come to my Sunday school, devil, and maybe you would learn. He reached back, took one verse out of Deuteronomy. He said, it is written. That's how you get rid of the devil. It is written. It is written. I run over. Y'all, did I kill that snake out there? Did anybody see a snake in the middle of the road out there? Well, I hit him. I was one of the first ones in this morning. There's a big snake laying right down yonder. And I said, oh! And I was on the phone with Miss Kim. She was telling me they had to go to the hospital last night with Janie. And I swerved over like that and I hit him. And I believe Joey was behind me. He said, Brother Danny, that thing looked like that. And it went right back. That's your car. I said, uh-oh, I done made him mad. Usually whatever happened like that physically is a picture of what's going on spiritually. And the other night I dreamed. And I dreamed there was a copperhead about that long and had two heads. A two-headed snake. So if you're here this morning, both of you, I'm going to cut you off. Just in case you're here. I don't know if they're here this morning or not. They're out there somewhere. But I dreamed of a two-headed snake. And that thing, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what kind of trick the devil trying to do to get in our church or whatever, or get me personally. But I tell you one thing, brother. I got the sword of the Spirit that'll take care of any two-headed rattlesnake, copperhead, whatever. This thing gives me strength. I heard about a high school student in a band concert. And his friends were trying to get him to go out and party. They were all going to party that night where they're staying at the band concert. He said, I ain't going. And they said, why? He said, the Bible says, look not upon the wine when it moves itself aright. That means fermented. Right. He said, the Bible said, don't look at it. I ain't going with you. And they said, oh, come on, good night. That's silly. A little bit won't hurt. That's the devil quoting right there. A little bit won't hurt. That's what he told Eve. A little bite won't hurt. Listen, big sins start with little sin. You take one step wrong, then another. That's how you get into deep sin, is get in shallow sin. I'm telling you, it'll give you strength. And they told that boy, they said, come on, go with us. He said, Philippians 4:8. He said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. They said, oh, come on. They said, go with us. He said, at last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. They said, oh, come on, that's silly. He said, Proverbs 1:10 said, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I'm not going with you. And one of them punched his buddy and says, oh, come on, he's so full of the Bible, you can't do nothing with him. And I read that and I thought, glory to God, that's a compliment. He's so full of the Bible, you can't do nothing with him. And ladies and gentlemen, your defense is not your wit. Your defense is not your education. Your defense is not your great knowledge. Your defense is not how smart you are. Your defense is get the Word of God in your heart. And the devil will say, man, he's so full of the Word of God, we can't do nothing with him. That's our defense against the Lord. I'm about to shout. I'm telling you, I think about the time God been good to me. I think about the times when I've laid on my face and opened that book right there and said, God, you're all I've got, and if you don't help me, I ain't going to make it. I'm telling you, the strength is in the Word of God. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who are to Jesus for refuge have fled? Thank God, hallelujah, it'll strengthen you. Number five, it gives me faith. You say, my faith's weak, Brother Danny. What's wrong with me? You ain't spending time in the Bible. Romans 10:11 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, how do I get more faith? Read 30 chapters between now and next Sunday. You'll have more faith than you had this Sunday. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Read 10 chapters a day for 3 months. You say, I ain't got time. Put your phone up, your computer down, TV off. You'll be surprised how much time you'll have. I know y'all don't like it when I say that, but it's not my fault. It's yours. That's like a woman getting mad and smashing her mirror because it shows the wrinkles in her face. What are you getting mad at me for? You're the ones doing it. It gives me faith. It gives me faith. I'll never forget. When I first got saved, you've heard me tell this story before. When a sermon like that, you can't help but talk about it in a message like this. When I first got saved, I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew it told about heaven and hell. And I had tried to read it a few times when I was about 12 or 13. They gave me a Bible. I remember kept it by my bed. And I got it out and I tried to read it a time or two. Even in high school, I couldn't make heads or tails out of it. I got in Genesis and I tried to read a little bit. And you know, the first chapter in Matthew and Luke, it always tells the lineage of Adam and Eve, and they begot so-and-so, and they begot so-and-so, and they begot. And right there, the devil will talk to you, and he'll say, well, that's all this is. I've had people say, all it is a bunch of names. That's because you give up before you got through one chapter, you lazy thing. And I read it. And I remember one day I'd been saved about 3 months. And I'd been hearing preachers get up and preach. And they preach, read the Bible. And I said, all right, I'm going to read it. And I started. And I went Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was out form and void. And darkness moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God lied to that. I could get that pretty good. And I went through Genesis. And I got through Exodus. And I went through Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And then I got into Joshua and Judges and Ruth and Samuel. And I got way over there in Kings. And I remember one day I was 18 years old. 18. In the summer. We didn't have air conditioning. We just raised the windows in the summertime. You say, well, how in the world people stand it? If you just stay hot, you don't realize how good it feels to be cold. You remember the first time, some of us old people remember the first time you ever felt air conditioning? I remember going in a grocery store and marrying, and I thought, Lord, something's wrong in here. They've left the freezers open or something. Because we just wore shorts, didn't wear no shoes, no shirt. I had time when we was growing up, just a pair of shorts. And I went in the grocery store and I thought, Lord, have mercy. And I remember reading the Bible. And I got up at 9 o'clock in the morning and I started reading my Bible. I read till about 12 o'clock. Mom said, Danny, why don't you go get us something to eat? I went to the Harvest Drive-In in Marion. The old Harvest Drive-In got some chicken. I took some chicken home. Prelude to being a preacher. I didn't even realize it then. I went and I read the Bible, come home, and I put that chicken down. We got to about 1 o'clock. I started reading again. I read. And I was in 2 Kings. I was in 1 Chronicles. I was in 2 Chronicles. 30, 40, 50 chapters. And I kept reading. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. About 5:30 or 6 o'clock that evening, I left, took my little old car, had a little MG, a little convertible MG, and I took it over to some friend's house, stayed a little while, and when I got back, I started reading again. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. That night, it come a big thunderstorm, and the sky got black, and them trees outside my mom's house, just doing like that, the wind was blowing. And that night, I don't know how to explain this. That's the first time it ever happened to me. I'd been saved about April, May, June, July, about 4 months. I read 120 chapters in the Bible that day. And all of a sudden, the wind started blowing and the trees started going back and forth like that. Lightning hit like that. And the first time it ever had hit me, I looked out and I thought, you know what? The God that's out there make the sky got black, making rain fall out of the sky and striking this place with lightning is the same God that wrote these words on these pages. And I'm telling you, buddy, them things jumped off and got him. It started bubbling over in my soul. And I couldn't even understand it. I'm talking about 1 and 2 Chronicles, people. And I was on that, and I thought I was going to blow up. It come up in me. So blah, 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 blah. I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I didn't even know if you even knew about shouting. I should have run out in the yard and thrown my hands up and squalled and hollered, glory to God. Listen, brother, there ain't no book in this world that'll do that for a young person. It made me want to do right. It made me want to never sin again. It made me want to cut off anything that's wrong. That Bible will change you and strengthen you. Amen. That's what Bear Bryant, the old great coach, used to, football coach, used to say, never give up. He said, don't give up at halftime. Win the second half. That means if the devil's knocked you down and the devil's got you down, you get back up, put your nose in that book and say, God, I'm going to stay here till I get the victory. You mothers, I was talking about mothers last Sunday on Mother's Day. You have the opportunity. You can put the Word of God. I tell Carrie, I tell Corey them all the time. I tell some of you other, put the Word of God in them. Put it in them. It's supernatural. It's not like Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and Shakespeare. It's not like the books. It's different. It's different. Put the Word of God in their heart. They'll never get over that. The Word of God's in their heart just right. Number six, it gives me joy. Jeremiah 15:16 said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were rejoicing, and the joy of my heart. Over 30 books of the Bible, they 66, over 30 of them can be read in less than 1 hour. Are you reading it? Are you reading it? I want our church to be Bible readers. It gives me joy. The happiest people in the world are people that live in the Word of God. Listen, I know you got to work. I know you got to make a living. I know you got grass to mow. I know I do that too. I went hours and hours and hours this week. But take time to get in this book. It'll give you joy. Number seven, and I'll be done. It gives me life. John 6:63, he said, thy word that I've spoken unto you, the words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. I'll never forget reading a story about a preacher, a doctor, became a preacher by the name of W.P. McKay. And when Mr. McKay was just a teenager, he left home. And he left home and he was going to go out and make it big and get rich. And his mama took it and she said, now son, you take this Bible with you. And she gave him a little Bible and wrote some scripture and stuff in the leaf, the front leaf of his Bible. Said, here, I want you to take it with you. Well, he went out and went to college and got wicked as a devil. He went out there and he partied and they was partying all the time and getting drunk and raising Cain and everything. And he got so bad off, he lost about all his money and he pawned that Bible off one night for some whiskey. And he just said, I don't want this thing, don't read it, no way. Pawned it, got some whiskey, they all had a party, and he said, years later, he finally did graduate. And he finally got his degree and became a doctor, a medical doctor. And he was doctoring a man one time, the man was dying, and this man had his family in there and in the room, and the man was about ready to die, and he said, go get my Bible, bring me my Bible. And the doctor was in there with him, and he said they brought him in there, and they handed it to him, and lo and behold, it was his old Bible. That thing got a way of showing back up on you. It's alive. And that man died, and he picked that Bible up and said, can I have this? They said, yeah. He looked at the scripture that his mama wrote was still in it, and he took it home, and he began to pour over the pages and got on his knees and got saved by the grace of God and became a preacher. That's the Word of God, people. It'll give you life. It'll give you life. Howard Rutledge. In Vietnam, plane crashed in Vietnam. Before it crashed, he parachuted out of it and landed in one of the heathen village tribes. He was stripped and imprisoned. 7 years went through brutal torture. He said, when they put us in prison, he said, you know what we got to eat every day? He said, we got a rotten bowl of soup with a little pig fat in it with the skin and the hair and all still on the fat of the pig in our soup. He said there was rats as big as cats and spiders as big as your fist scurrying around us in that prison. He said, I was cold. I was alone. I was by myself. I was tortured. He said, I shackled. They'd put them in shackles and excruciating pain and in terrible positions for torture and for days and days, laying in his own waste and filth with carnivorous insects boring holes in his sores all over his body. He said, there's only one way we didn't go crazy. He said, I struggled in my mind to remember songs and scripture that I learned in Sunday school growing up in a Baptist church. He said, I tried to remember those songs. He said, oh, right then, how I wished that I could remember, and I'd remembered more scripture. And he said, it come a big storm one night, and lightning struck, and then he remembered that song, Showers of Blessing. And he said, him and a friend said, there shall be showers of blessings sent from the Savior above. There shall be seasons refreshing. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. Mercy drops fall us, around us are falling. But for the showers we plead. And he said, they tried to remember Matthew. They tried to remember Mark. He said they could get parts of the Sermon on the Mount, and him and his buddy would quote it back and forth to each other all day long. He said all we had to keep our sanity was the Word of God. 7 years of that. And he said, I begin to remember Scripture. And he said, I'll never forget. He said the guy in the next cell over, he remembered the story of Ruth and Naomi, and how Ruth followed Naomi, or the other way around, whichever. And God, he said, God was with her down there in that hostile land, and God took care of her. He said that story was 2,000 years old, but it sustained us. Amen. In that cell. He said, we learned the Lord's Prayer in the 23rd Psalm. And he said this, people, and don't forget me saying this because it might be us next. He said, I never dreamed that I'd have 5 years in solitary confinement, or that one verse of Scripture could make me, help me make it through a whole day and make it bearable. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. He said a lot of them soldier, POWs would just lay down in a fetal position and die. He said the way we overcame everything we went through was by the Word of God. When you go through a divorce, you go through a bout with cancer, you go through, when bad stuff happens, and it's going to happen to everybody in here, you're going to have more than Twitter or a ball game on TV to get you through. You better learn how to get in that book and get your feet on that thing so you can make it. Because when you go through trouble, everybody turns to something. You'll turn to drugs or alcohol, or you'll turn to the Lord, or you'll turn to another person. Amen. Everybody that goes through trouble turns one of them three things. Amen. You'll turn to the Lord, or you'll turn to another person, or you'll turn to drugs. Amen. My advice is to you this morning, that's right there, what them people turn to. They had no choice. I'll never forget hearing Ed McAfee tell that story. He said on the mission field, he said somewhere over in China, somewhere this guy was preaching. And he said, this woman was saved, and she tried her best to get her husband to come. He said, I ain't going to that, in Chinese, of course. I ain't going to hear that crazy nut preach. And he said they could understand a little bit of what the preacher was preaching, and they had an interpreter, and he was saying it in China. And he said, finally, the woman, it was her birthday or something like that, and he worshiped Buddha or something, Hindu or something. I don't know what he was. And he said, I'll go with you. It's your birthday, I'll go with you. But he said, I won't listen to one word that preacher says. Telling you right now, I ain't listening. But she said, okay. She got him in there and set him down in that tent. And it was outside, and it was hot. And there's bugs out everywhere. And he said the preacher got up. Said that old China man walked in there, big old guy like that. And he took out both fingers, stuck them in his ears like that. Like that. Like, I'm here, but you're crazy. I got my own God, and I don't want to hear one thing you got to say. And the preacher started preaching. And he, Brother Ed said, about halfway through that sermon, a big old horse fly, big one of them big fat ones, that big, came through that tent. Like a 747, looking for a place to land. He said, he is coming through this way. And the preacher is preaching. He said, that thing come in for a three-point landing, right on the end of that guy's nose. He said, he had it on like that, you know, and he's going, like that. And he said about that time he took his hand off like that and was trying to catch that thing, and the preacher said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who, and the word of God went in that ear, and he said it went straight down and hit him in the heart. And he said the heart woke up, and the old boy said, What did he say? He loved me. God loved me enough. And he started listening and got saved, born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, folks. We don't need new methods or new programs. We need to preach the old book that's got the job done all these years. It'll still work in our hearts if we'll read it and believe it. When I read my Bible, it gives me life. I'm telling you, I don't want to let go of this thing. And I want to get enough of it in my heart so if I ever can't see, well, they lock us up. God forbid, that we ain't no better than people over there. That I'll have the Word of God in my heart. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes, please. I want us just have just a moment here and search our hearts. Just come and play something this day. We won't stand. I want you to search your heart. And I want to ask Shining Light Baptist Church if you'll rededicate your life to the Bible. Will you do it? You can come and get down on your knees. Teach it to your children. Teach it to them in the morning. They ought to see it in your house. Put up verses of scriptures in your house. Put it on the back of your car. That's what we got them stickers for. Put it in your heart. Teach it. Put it in their heart. Mama, put it on your stereo going to school or going back and forth to work with the kids. Your kids are getting it. It's going in their heart. Let's dedicate our life to the Bible. We're going to wait just a few seconds this morning. Some's come and pray. You want to come and pray? Come on right now and just get down on your knees. Join these on the altar. If you want to pray right there at your seat, that's fine too. It's unusual. Sunday morning invitation. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never even been saved. It'd be a good time for you to be saved. You can be saved right there where you sit. You don't have to come to the altar. You could and you should probably, but you don't have to. You can ask Jesus to come into your heart right there where you see it. And you just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I'm sorry for my sins. And I want you to come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me. You're a Christian here this morning, and you say, Lord, I'm sorry for letting the world crowd out all the time that I could spend in the Word of God. Lord, help me to get back in my Bible. I started out good in January, and here I've done about quit. Lord, please forgive me. Let me get back in my Bible. When I read my Bible, stuff happens. When you read your Bible, stuff will happen. I'm not talking about listening to it on CD. That's okay. I'm talking about reading it. Reading it, brother. Reading it, sister. Reading it, mom and daddy. Let your kids see you read. Your kids ever walk in and see you reading the Bible? Your husband, wife ever walk in and there you sit reading the Bible? That's good testimony. That's a good testimony. Become a person of the book. Learn the Bible. God will help you. And let's love it, learn it, and live it. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. Our forefathers paid the price so that we could have a copy of this book and have the freedom to stand here and preach it on Sunday mornings like this. Lord, we don't want to take that for granted. I pray that every person here this morning will make up their mind. They're going to go home. This is Sunday. This is your day. This is the day we set aside for your glory. Let us go home this evening and spend time in the Word of God. And put our hearts into it. Then come back in here tonight on Shouting Ground. Bring us back here tonight. Send an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival service tonight, Lord. Bring the people in, Lord. I know some of these folks have been out fighting the devil all week, Lord, and they're weak. They're weak, Lord. God, give them strength. Give them strength. Get back in here tonight, and Lord, give us strength from your word. There is strength in the Lord. There is strength in the Lord. Lord, you said thy words were found and I did eat them. Lord, I pray that we'd take this message this morning and use it for your glory. And Lord, whatever you do for us, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Everybody clear? All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, raise your hand over there, Barbara. I'm glad you stood up. Raise your hand. Tomorrow's her birthday. Everybody tell Barbara happy birthday. Amen. Isn't that something? She told me not to embarrass her. Isn't that a